The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
And welcome to the 4 o'clock hour of Bob Burney Live. Those of you that are regular listeners know that way back the beginning of April, almost on a daily basis, I was reading to you the numbers reported from the Ohio Department of Health and, of course, the daily news conference with Governor DeWine and Dr. Amy Acton. And there was just something that didn't add up with the numbers. Depending on where you looked on the website, there were huge contradictions in the numbers. And I would say repeatedly, where are the journalists that are asking questions? Not belligerent questions like the White House press corps, but just honest questions. Day after day after day, I would hear journalists say, "Well, Governor, what color mask do you think would be most effective? Dr. Amy, should it, you know, anyway." And then all of a sudden, I heard of a journalist who was asking questions. Never heard of the guy, Jack Windsor. And I thought, who in the world is Jack Windsor? Well, Jack Windsor is an independent investigative reporter. He works with WMFD-TV in Mansfield. And finally, someone in the press corps here in Ohio has been actually asking questions. And it's my privilege to welcome Jack Windsor to the program today. Jack, welcome.
Mr. Burney, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be with you and the WRFD listeners.
Enough of the Mr. stuff. I feel old enough anyway, all right? It's Bob, Jack.
That's fair. That's fair, Bob.
All right, Jack, when did you start seeing that the numbers reported by the Ohio Department of Health just weren't adding up and were often contradictory from one day to the next? What caused your journalistic antennas to go up first?
One of the things that caused my antenna to go up was understanding that we would hear total numbers on a daily basis, and that total would include presumptive cases. So in the beginning, it was we had a confirmed number of cases, and then there were presumptive cases, and then there were the totals. And then on down the line, it's hospitalizations, ICU visits, deaths. And something about that never really sat right in my belly. It just didn't, to me, it lacked context. And, you know, words have power. In the word, it says, God said, let there be light, right?
Yeah.
And there was light. Yeah. So the words that we speak, the stories that we tell, the narrative that we shape for our listening audience is super important. And at a time of pandemic and fear and, you know, everything that was going on, to me, it just didn't sit right. And that's when I started to really dig in.
All right. And as you began to dig in, what were the first things that really popped up, the things that caught your attention?
So I did a really comprehensive investigative article a couple of weeks back, and I was really blessed that it went viral, only from the vantage point that it helped other people start asking some key questions. But I found that even in the beginning, we weren't getting a real clear snapshot. So we knew when this virus came out of China and came out of Italy that it was really going to severely affect a certain segment of our population. We also knew that it would affect people who had existing conditions. Mm-hmm. And so the policy that was enacted really didn't make sense. I've used the analogy that it was like we swung a sledgehammer instead of using a scalpel. And we didn't seem to integrate some of the information that could have been available we had a financial crisis in 2008, and we knew then that unemployment numbers and suicides were an issue. We knew from another pandemic, you know, the first SARS virus, that when people get locked down, even for two-week intervals, it causes at least a 35% spike in depression, PTSD, and it didn't seem like we were taking some of those things into consideration. And then, as I said, one of the things that I struggle with, and we heard about it today, is the number of positive cases. Mm-hmm. When you really dive into that, it's mind-numbing. A case is not a person. And I'll tell you the best example I've heard of that. If somebody tests positive and they go into isolation, oftentimes they'll have to test negative twice in order to come out of isolation, to go back to work, to get back into the community. Well, if I tested positive and I'm trying to test negative twice and I test eight additional times positive, then I would account for nine positive cases as one person. So that causes me to scratch my head a little bit. We also suspect that the state is combining antibody testing with current infection numbers. We know the number of total cases that we get when we hear them includes not only positive tests, but they, as I mentioned before, the presumed tests. And the most recent thing that I'm going to dive into tonight live on air is we heard about Hamilton County today and how people are being hospitalized. So what I'm understanding is that people who are going in for elective procedures who aren't sick with COVID are required to test, and it might be an antibody onset, or, you know, maybe they're asymptomatic. They're counted as positive, and they're also counted in the hospital, even though they're not there, for the sake of treating COVID.
Okay,
that makes sense. It's a little
Let me stop you there. We know that a large percentage of people who have the COVID-19 are asymptomatic. They didn't even know they had it. Joy and I, my wife and I, have two very close friends. They both tested positive for COVID-19 antibodies. They had no idea they had it. They had no idea. So what you're saying then, someone is going in for elective knee replacement. They check into Hospital X, and they're given a test for the antibodies. And it comes back with positive antibodies for COVID-19, which does not mean they are being hospitalized because of COVID-19, but because they are in the hospital with positive antibodies, they are counted as a COVID-19 hospitalization. Is that correct?
Yes, I've had two anecdotes in the last 24 hours from family members who have reported that to me. That is correct. I don't know how wide that is. Each county's different. Each hospital system is different. But yes, that's an issue.
All right. Now, one of the things that has astounded me, and something that you have reported on continuously, is that the Ohio Department of Health may report difference. Okay, let's talk cases, positive cases. Difference in the last 24 hours, which is the way the COVID-19 dashboard reports, 576 cases difference in the last 24 hours. But according to the research you're doing, the actual number of additional positive cases could be as low as four or five. How can there be that much disparity?
That's a great question. They do something that's called backfilling. And so what they'll do is they'll bring data forward from as far back as January, perhaps, when there are records showing that people had this virus back in January. It was probably before that, but the state has recognized early January. So through their tracing efforts, so for example, using the example that you just shared, if I were to go in and get an elective knee surgery and I test positive because of the antibody testing, then they might trace it back and say, well, when did the symptoms, you know, onset? Well, I was sick back in February. Okay. Well, that could count positive as today. So there's a disparity, and there's this data lag. And regardless of if it's 5 or 575, my big beef is we deserve to know. Reported in the last 24 hours is not in the last 24 hours. We deserve to know how many people really have reported in the last 24 hours. And I would feel much better if they would take out that 24-hour marker, because it's misrepresentative of what could potentially be going on with the active virus, if that makes sense.
All right, we need to take a break. We're talking with Jack Windsor, investigative reporter with WMFD-TV in Mansfield, Ohio. One of the few reporters in the state of Ohio that has actually had the courage to ask some pertinent questions. All right, quick break. We'll be back.
Talk radio that makes a difference. Makes a difference. This is Bob Burney Live.
And on the line with me is Jack Windsor, independent investigative reporter working with WMFD-TV in Mansfield, and a journalist who has become somewhat of a thorn in the side of our governor. I would imagine you wear that title with honor, Jack.
You know, I do in some sense. I think it's important for the press to be able to demand accountability of leadership. So from that, in that regard, absolutely.
You don't have to give me names, but like I said, for week after week, I would go on the air and say, why isn't anybody questioning? Is anybody else waking up in the journalism corps, radio, TV here in the state of Ohio? Is anybody around you in those press conferences, are they having any aha moments? And do they have the courage to report what you are reporting?
I love everybody in the press corps. They work really hard. I do know that. Everybody has their own filter, and they all answer to a different boss. And I know that some news agencies don't allow reporters to ask certain questions or take a certain angle. So, but all of that being said, it does seem to me that at times the questions have been more difficult. I know there were a couple today. There was one Tuesday. And in the beginning, the first question I ever asked had to do with the immunity certificates that Dr. Amy Acton talked about.
I remember that.
When I asked them, you remember that question?
Yes, I do.
You have to know that that set off civil libertarian alarm bells. And I could hear the people behind me with the sighs of disgust. And apparently I had broken some unwritten rule. But, you know, they softened up. Actually, today on my way in, I won't give a name, but there is another journalist that I saw in the parking garage that said, hey, are you going up this way? Because I have a pass to get in this way. And that journalist walked with me. And we probably are about as polar opposite as you could be. So that was nice.
Yeah. Speaking of Governor DeWine, about 10 minutes ago, he was on Fox News and was questioned about what's going on in the state of Ohio. And he said, and this is certainly not verbatim, we are extremely concerned because of the enormous spike in cases. In fact, we had 800 new cases yesterday, and that is causing all of us a great deal of concern. How does Jack Windsor respond to that?
It lacks context. From my vantage point, a couple of things that I think need to be mentioned. My understanding is, well, he talked a lot about Hamilton County today,
right,
and there being a little spike there. Well, that's Cincinnati. What happened in Cincinnati and other large urban areas 2 weeks ago and 3 weeks ago, there were people protesting. What he also has encouraged is he encouraged protesters to get tested. He has sent out pop-up testing units throughout the state. And it's inevitable that the number of tests, as they go up, that the number of positive tests will go up. And he tried to refute that today. But interestingly enough, the percentage of positive tests have stayed the same.
About 4%, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
So if it's not attributed to the number of tests going up, that to me seems mathematically impossible. If it's attributed to something else. And then, of course, what we talked about, you know, some of the circumstantial testing that would go on in a hospital and free tests if somebody is out and about with those pop-up facilities nearby, they can get a test. But what we're not seeing statewide is an uptick in hospitalizations or ICU visits or deaths. They're all trending down. And that, to me, is the big symbol that would cause a stir, but those numbers continue to go down.
Yeah, in fact, I have an article from day before yesterday from Slate, which is not exactly your right-wing conservative source. And the headline, COVID cases are rising, COVID deaths are declining. It's a lengthy 9-page article chronicling the fact that, yes, more testing, more cases, obviously, but actually COVID deaths are continuing to decline. And speaking of Fox News, they just spent a huge segment on the fact, spike, spike, spike. I must have heard 20 times. There's a spike, 20% spike, spike here, spike here, spike there. But we are not seeing a spike in hospitalizations, and we're not seeing a spike in deaths. So, in other words, are we actually seeing some fear-mongering here?
Well, in the past, and when I say the past few weeks, I have tried to abstain from saying that. After today's news conference, I would say 100% we're seeing fear-mongering. The other thing he talked about today was that younger adults are testing positive.
Right.
Well, that's not a bad thing, because the younger population is not adversely affected by this virus as the more aged population is. So I don't expect that we'll see an increase in hospitalizations, but that didn't get talked about. So, yeah, it is a little bit perplexing to me as the testing has gone up and the number of positive cases has gone up. I don't know why that's not received with, well, look, we're doing a better job of spotting positive cases,
right,
and we're doing a better job of treating it as ICU numbers and deaths go down. That's a positive thing. And I don't know why, other than fear-mongering, it gets twisted and contorted into, well, you know, we're going to have to probably look at, I mean, the tone is we're going to have to probably roll back into some sort of lockout, and we're going to have to mandate masks. And that's a story for a different day. But I think it is fear-mongering, and it's frustrating.
All right, we're talking with Jack Windsor. Jack, you talked about being live on the air tonight. Tell our listeners how at least some of them may be able to see your program tonight.
Oh, thank you for that offer. I'm doing a private, individual, live Facebook broadcast.
Ah, okay.
And I do those often. And I will have with me a gentleman who is a medical data analyst. And he's worked with some of the biggest outfits in the country and has consulted with the state of Ohio and some other news organizations, because he's fantastic at breaking down a number. So at 9 o'clock, we're going to go on and we're going to talk specifically about Hamilton County, because we both feel like what was discussed today lacked serious context. So we're going to get into those numbers and talk about the context and try to look, it's a virus, and I'm not saying that it's not real, and I'm not saying that it's not a threat. What I'm saying is that we are better and healthier when we don't have to deal with the cortisol that comes from fear and fear-mongering. So I would rather folks have a clear understanding. They can get some of that tonight at night.
Jack Windsor, thank you. God bless you, Jack. I know you're incredibly busy. Thanks for giving us some of your time today, and keep up the great work.
Bob, it's an honor. God bless you and your listening audience. Thanks again.
All right. Bobberty Live will continue. Stay tuned.